resurrection morning, when all the dead in Christ shall rise.
I'll have a new body,
praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Eternal
soul, in weakness raised in power, ready to live in paradise.
I'll have a new body,
praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
I'll have a new home,
glory, glory,
with the redeemed
never
of God
first stand.
There'll be no more sorrow,
no more pain, there'll be no more strife.
Yes, raising the likeness
in
of my
likeness,
Savior, ready to live,
I'll be glad.
I'll have a new body,
praise the Lord, I'll have a new life
eternal.
When the last trump of God shall sound,
I'll have a new body,
praise the Lord, I'll have a new life
eternal.
Grains, all bursting saints are shouting, heavenly beauty all around.
I'll have a new body,
praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Oh, yes.
I'll have a new home,
glory,
of glory,
glory,
with reading no God to stand.
No more pain, there'll be no more strife.
Yes, raising the likeness
in
of
His likeness,
ready to live,
I'll be glad.
I'll have a new body,
praise the Lord, I'll have a new life
eternal.
Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be. This is your host, Bruce Kessler. Welcome, my friend, to the Passion for Christ show. So glad you are listening to this broadcast. Hey, you know I'm privileged to be a part of the greatest movement ever, a follower of Jesus Christ, for in Him I find peace, joy, and happiness. I am blessed beyond measure, more than I ever deserve. My goal here is very simple, and that is to encourage you along the way to help you find your passion in Jesus Christ. Upcoming in our study segment, we're going to have a special guest, Evangelist Michael McCorkle, discussing four things that define an honorable mother. But first, headline news. Get this, Chick-fil-A, the Christian-owned company that's often targeted, it's on pace to become the third largest restaurant in sales this year, passing Subway and trailing only McDonald's and Starbucks. Chick-fil-A will reach number three despite all the controversy and despite the fact that it's closed on Sundays. Chick-fil-A founder Truett Cathy decided to close on Sundays 1946, when he opened the first restaurant in Hapeville, Georgia. Having worked 7 days a week and restaurants open 24 hours, Truett saw the importance of closing on Sundays so he and his employees could set aside one day to rest and worship if they choose, a practice we still uphold today. There you go, folks. Chick-fil-A to become third largest restaurant chain despite being closed on Sundays. Get this. A Democrat and CNN political analyst sparked pushback on social media this week when she claimed the unborn baby growing inside a pregnant woman's body is not a human being. Christine Quinn made the comments during a debate over state abortion restrictions with former U.S. Senator Rick Santorum and host Chris Cuomo. When a woman gets pregnant, she said, that is not a human being inside of her. It's part of her body. It's about a woman having full agency and control of her body and making decisions about her body and what is part of her body with medical professionals. Those are the facts, and that is the law of the land. But Sanatorum challenged her logic. By her worldview, he said, the baby would be considered chattel. They can do whatever they want to the baby. They can torture it. Earlier, Sanatorum had asked Quinn and Cuomo, who is pro-choice? A baby dies in an abortion. Do you all realize that? Are you ignoring that fact? That's a reality. It is biologically a human life, he asked. No, Quinn said and answered. Surprised by her answer, Sanatorum responded, it's in every biological textbook in the world at conception that is a human life. You guys talk about being the party of science. This, your position, is so anti-science. This is kind of funny and also quite sad. CNN Democrat claims that is not a human being inside a pregnant woman. Folks, talk about pure nonsense, and it's a sad day. But let's pray. We have to be gracious. We have to be respectful. We have to approach this subject in an honorable way. Let's pray that we can. Let's pray that we can say the right things and prove to people what the Bible has to say about this position called abortion. And that's our headline news for this broadcast. Now we turn to our new segment, This Day in Church History. May the 11th, 1682, the General Court of Massachusetts repeals two-year-old laws. The first law that they appealed is a ban on the celebration of Christmas. And number two, capital punishment for banished Quakers who returned to the colony. Then in the year 1825, the American Tract Society organizes in New York City. A leader in developing printing technology, the non-denominational organization was publishing 30 million tracts a year by its 150th year anniversary. Isn't that remarkable, folks? And then finally, in the year 1926, J.R.R. Tolkien, there's a movie about him coming up, and C.S. Lewis have their first long chat. Can you believe that? 1926. 5 years afterward, Lewis converts to Christianity, to Christ. And that's this day in church history. And now we have Name That Bible Character segment. Here is your clue. I was the king who was taught sayings by my mother as related in Proverbs. What is my name? I was the king who was taught sayings by my mother as related in Proverbs. What is my name? We will reveal the answer following our study segment. So stay tuned, folks, for that exciting reveal in our final segment of Name That Bible Character. Now we have a special study segment presentation.
Well, I have with us evangelist and a good friend of mine, Brother Michael McCorkle from the North Texas area. Thank you, Michael, for coming on our show. Sunday is Mother's Day, as you know, and there's going to be quite a celebration for mothers all over the land, and they are worthy to be celebrated. And their role and their presence in the home is vital and powerful. But God has a lot to say about mothers and their role. And so I'm just going to give the floor to you, Brother Michael McCorkle. Thank you again for coming on our show.
Well, thank you, Bruce. I am really tickled to be here with you today. And, you know, the issue of mothers in a Christian home is very dear to my heart because, as you know, I've been associated with two of the greatest mothers the world's ever known, and that's my mom and my wife.
Amen.
They're both wonderful, wonderful mothers. And it's an exciting time of year, an opportunity for us to really honor those who have laid a foundation in our lives. And I encourage everyone to make a special effort this week to honor your mother in some way. As far as what the Bible has to say about mothers, I guess the first passage that comes to my mind is 1 Timothy 5 and verse 14, where the scriptures say, "I will that the younger women marry, bear children, and guide the house." You know, I teach at a private Christian school in the Dallas area, and a lot of times young people will ask, you know, what's God's will for my life? One of the things that young women can know is that it is God's will for you to be a mom. It is God's will for you to marry and bear children and to guide the house. That's God's plan for you. You know, mothers have such a special place in our society, our culture, in our churches, and in our personal family lives. There's no one who has a greater influence on the children of the world than the mothers who raised them and rocked their cradles. Amen. You know, in the Bible we read about, like, Timothy's mother, how that, you know, there was no one in the early church like Timothy, Bruce.
I know.
There was no one like him. Amen. And his influence, a lot from the Apostle Paul, but Paul addresses that, and he says his influence for Christianity came from his mother and his grandmother.
Powerful.
Now you look, go ahead.
I said, yeah, that's very powerful, powerful effect, powerful influence.
It is, and it's not just New Testament women that were that way. If you look in the Old Testament, there was a woman named Hannah who was a tremendous mother to her son Samuel. Samuel was a great man of God. And that faith came from his mother, Hannah. If you remember the story, he was raised from a young age by the priest, Eli. And Eli's other sons were very corrupt. The only real difference in Samuel's life was Hannah, his mother, and the influence that she had on him.
Mm. Wow.
Well, one of the things that we all know is that as much as a mother can have a tremendously good influence, some mothers can have a bad influence. Some of us have seen that. You can read on the in your newspaper, on wherever you get your news, you can read stories real often about some mother who has abandoned her children or taught her children to do evil things. And just because a woman is a mother doesn't mean she's a godly or righteous person. And so what I'd like to do is just talk for a few minutes about what makes a woman a godly woman, what makes her a godly mother, an honorable mother. You know, an honorable mother has specific qualities, and these are the types of qualities that made my mother stand out. They're the types of qualities that make my wife stand out as an excellent mother. And I guess of all those, the first one would be that to be an honorable mother, you need to be first committed to Christ above all else.
Amen.
You know, the world offers all kinds of trinkets and things that are beautiful to look at that just turn out to be not valuable at all. If you remember, Bruce, when you were young, you remember Cracker Jacks?
Yes.
And we all wanted Cracker Jacks because there was a prize in the box, right?
That's right.
But it was always a sorry prize. just wasn't worth near what we in our minds built it up to be. You know, mothers, your family needs you to be faithful to Christ far more than your kids need an Xbox or you need a second income or a full-time chauffeur. They need a mom in the home who loves and follows Jesus Christ. Mm. You know, you may be the most beautiful woman in the world physically and outwardly, but if you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus and obeyed his gospel, your beauty is only skin deep. The Bible says that charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And the very first thing that a woman has to have or has to be this honorable type of mother, is a woman who puts Jesus Christ first in her life, before her husband, before her children, before her career, before everything else. The second thing that really jumps out to me, and especially in the world we live in now that seeks for equality in every way, is that to be an honorable mother, a woman must work according to the design of God. You know, the Bible very plainly and very clearly says in Ephesians 5, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. And he is Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, this is not a statement on the value of women. What it is a statement on design. And we understand differences in design in a lot of areas in our lives, don't we, Bruce?
That's right, we do.
For instance, if I were to ask you, which is better, a sports car or a John Deere tractor, how would you answer that?
Well, I'm going to say a sports car.
Well, you know, to lots of guys, a sports car would be more valuable and better than a John Deere tractor, but not to a farmer. You know, if you're trying to plow a field, you don't want a sports car to try to pull that plow with. If you're driving to the grocery store, you might prefer a minivan to a sports car, but you sure don't want to have to drive a big John Deere tractor into town. You see, it's a matter of design. It's not a matter of value.
But the world certainly would view it the opposite way, though.
Yes, absolutely. In a world of men who value sports cars, they're going to want the sports car. But the reality is, in your life, if you have the life of a farmer, you need a John Deere tractor.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need a sports car.
Yeah.
And in this analogy, all I'm trying to draw here is that, you know, God has designed women and men for different things. And when he says the woman is to submit to her husband, that she's to bear children and guide the house, that's not a statement that she's not as valuable as her husband or not as smart or as capable or anything else. But it's a matter of the design that God laid out and the responsibility and authority that he places on a husband. And, you know, that's not necessarily the right to have whatever you want. What that is responsibility and accountability.
Mm.
And women, your children will learn godliness and obedience to authority from you. When your child sees you living for Christ while supporting the leadership of your husband, your child is going to see a strong family unit. And that's the kind of family that your child will imitate when they grow up. But if a child sees a mother who nags and rebukes the father and asserts her own independence over that of obedience to her husband, one that criticizes and belittles the man she married, this same child is going to imitate that when they grow up. It's very important for honorable mothers to work for God within the design that he gave them. By doing this, you're not only going to honor God in your marriage, but you're going to bring peace to your family.
And boy, just let me say something about peace. Peace, sure. Peace is what the world is searching for, and the answer is, if the answer is in this faith that you're talking about, the answer is in Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. I have a good friend who's a manager of a real high-end steakhouse, and one of the things that he's told me is that he dreads holidays like Mother's Day or Easter, because what happens is a lot of families will come to the restaurant and they don't like each other and they don't get along and it's miserable for everyone. But because of the holiday, they feel obligated to do this. And many, many times they end up in screaming matches and fights because they don't have that peace. Mm. Because the people in that family are not seeking Christ first and worshiping and working within obedience to Christ according to the design of their life.
Wow. Amen.
Well, I've got a couple other things to mention. Third is that a woman who is an honorable woman is going to seek internal godliness rather than outward beauty. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with a woman seeking to be attractive. Paul was not saying that a woman shouldn't take care of herself physically. What Paul was teaching was that the outward adorning should not take the place of or be more important to you than your inward godliness. Listen to how he says it here in 1 Timothy. He says, the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Now, his point is not that it's sinful for you to wear a strand of pearls. His point is that many, many times women become so fixated on their physical appearance and their physical beauty that they seek that and follow that at the cost of what is more important. That's the good works, the godliness. You know, mothers, don't spend all your time adorning yourself and your household while neglecting prayer and time in the Word of God. And when you get ready to go out, no doubt you spend time looking in a mirror. When you look in that mirror, do you just see the physical, or are you reminded to consider your character?
Mm. Amen.
When you give attention to your inner person and you're concerned about spiritual growth, what you are is you're partnering with God in one of the most demanding jobs on earth, and that's raising your children. And if they see you spend all your time or your focus on worldly things, on fixing up your house or fixing up your body, and they see you not spending time with searching the Word of God, and they see you neglect prayer, those are the kinds of things they'll imitate as they grow up. And obviously, that's not what we want for our children. The last thing I'd like to mention is that it's a tremendous responsibility and opportunity for an honorable woman, and an honorable woman will take this as a great focus of her life, and that is cultivating faith in the hearts of her children. Paul said about Timothy that we mentioned earlier, he said, I thank God when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. You see, Timothy's faith didn't begin when the Apostle Paul noticed him. The Apostle Paul noticed him because of his faith that began in his grandmother and his mother and the influence that they had. You cannot, especially in a world like we live in today, you cannot leave your children's faith to chance.
Amen.
It is foolish to raise your children to be neutral and let them choose for themselves. They will ultimately choose for themselves. But we don't let them choose for themselves as children in any other aspect of life. You don't let them eat anything they want, do you?
No.
Because they first not, their health is at stake, right?
Right.
Do you let them play anywhere they want to play?
No.
No. Do you let them watch anything they want to watch on television?
No, sir.
We don't. And so we look at that. If we are so concerned about these physical things, why would we play spiritual Russian roulette with our kids and just say, well, I'm not going to, you know, try to teach them my beliefs. I'm going to let them form their own beliefs. You need to know that the world around them is trying desperately to teach your children their beliefs. And as a result, you, as a mom, have a tremendous job in front of you. God has put you in the perfect place for that. You nurture and care for those children. You raise children who trust you while they're young. It's just in their nature, as you've been their caretaker, for them to trust you. And you can use that trust to help them learn to trust the Savior who came and died for them. So many people today think a great mom is being homeroom mom or taxi service or making memories. But the reality is, a great mom is a mom who instills faith in the living Savior in her children.
Mm.
Mothers, teach your kids. Teach them about Jesus. Turn off the TV. Turn off the video games. Plant the seed of faith in the hearts of your children. Your children may not know Jesus, but if you lay that foundation, they are far more likely to come to Christ than if you haven't laid that foundation. You know, I was blessed by having a wonderful mom who laid that foundation strong for me, and it's directed my entire life. My children are all here this weekend celebrating Mother's Day because we have a great loving home, and I've got children who love their mother and their father, and they love their Savior. And it's such a blessing to see that. And that's due in large part to the fact that I have a wife who struggled and worked to instill these values in her children, to be an honorable woman, to love Christ first, to put things that mattered ahead of things that don't matter, to recognize and follow the plan, the design that God had for her life, to seek and build internal godliness over outward beauty, and also to cultivate that faith in the life of her children. I hope you had a wonderful Mother's Day with your mother if she's still alive. Or you can honor a mother that you know near you because they are a great blessing in our lives, Bruce.
Amen. And Brother Michael, thank you once again for coming on the show. Thank you for this wonderful summary of what God has to say about an honorable mother. And may we all praise God for the mothers that we have in our lives, and some of those mothers could be stepmothers, and they're just as influential and just as powerful in our lives.
That's right.
Well,
that's right.
Well, God bless you, Michael, and thank you for once again for coming on our show, and God bless you.
Well, thank you so much for the invitation. I really do appreciate being invited to do this. And I tell you, I love your show. We listen to it every weekend, and I'm really edified by it. I appreciate it, Bruce.
All right. Well, once again, thank you, Brother Michael. Michael McCorkle from North Texas. Folks, as a celebration to all mothers, I would like to give my personal testimony here at this point. I came from a broken home. And I struggled. I was a difficult, rough child for Daddy to raise for several years. And then came a new family into my life, into Daddy's life. He made a woman that he told me that he was in love with. Some call this a blended family, and I resisted mightily against it. I guess you can say I fought against the will of God. But I came to realize and I came to know that God had sent me a wonderful family. I don't know that I could have had a more wonderful family without it being first broken, where God could fix it right. And I came to realize what a wonderful, patient, kind, beautiful, honorable stepmother Exie was and is. Thank you, Exie, for your overpowering love that you showered upon me. Thank you. And you know, truly, this love has come full circle. My biological mother, several years back, came back to Jesus Christ, rededicated her life. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. And now we have the conclusion to Name That Bible Character. Here was the clue. I was the king who was taught sayings by my mother as related in Proverbs. What is my name? The name is Lemuel. Lemuel. In Proverbs 31, verse king, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. I was the king who was taught sayings by my mother as related in Proverbs. What is my name? Lemuel. Lemuel. And name that Bible character. Well, folks, you too can come apart. The greatest movement ever to become followers of Jesus Christ, for in Him you can find peace, real peace, happiness, joy, and be blessed beyond measure, more than you ever deserve. Folks, my goal has been simple. That is to encourage you along the way to help you find your passion in life in Jesus Christ. If you ever come through Norman, Oklahoma, I pray that you will stop by and visit with us at the South Canadian Valley Church of Christ. But if not, stop by our website, normanchurch.com, normanchurch.com. normanchurch.com. Well, friend, I just want to say this. Thank you for listening to this broadcast. May God bless you!
The Lord reigns. He is a mighty God. The Lord God reigns. The Lord reigns. He is a mighty God, the Lord God reigns.
Hey!
Great is the Lord Almighty, He is Lord, He's God indeed. Great is the Lord Almighty, He is God supreme. Great is the Lord Almighty, He is Lord, He's God indeed. Great is the Lord, great is the Lord. The Lord reigns, He is a mighty God, the Lord God. The Lord reigns, He is a mighty God, the Lord.